Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. On these nights when they do the quiz, I traditionally do something different than our normal study. So tonight, we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these young people. Thank you for what they have learned. And we pray that you will seal these things, not only in their minds, but also in their hearts. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us all to do that, and even a little bit tonight as we look into your word. Help us to understand and see the application for our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On January the 20th, 2021, Joe Biden took the oath of office, and there was a transfer of power, you might say, from one administration to another. And what a big change that was. We don't know the date, but we know that many, many years ago, Moses died, and there was a transfer of leadership in the nation of Israel to a man named Joshua. When that happened, God gave some very specific instructions to this man, Joshua, and they are recorded for us in these few verses at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. God's specific instruction to Joshua. He says in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." And then he says, "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." This is one of those cases where Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 would come into play. What does Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 say? Nobody's jumping. Didn't you get to chapter 3 yet? It says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What is the one thing I do? "Forgetting those things which are behind. Moses, my servant, is dead. I don't want you to sit around and wish for the good old days." It was a lot easier for Joshua when Moses was in charge. He had to take the responsibility. Joshua can't sit around and think about Moses. You're now in charge. You need to go forward. In fact, you need to step forward with confidence in my promises. Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses." I told Moses, it was a promise. I'm going to keep that promise. Joshua, go forward now. Go in light of my promise. And also God's promise to Joshua himself in verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God promised his personal presence with Joshua. And in light of that, Joshua may not have had the New Testament verse, but he had the concept. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so three times he's going to say something of significance to Joshua in these next verses. And the first of these in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong, he says in verse 6. And this word strong suggests the idea of being firm, that is, not pliable, not easily moved. Again, a New Testament concept. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What's the next word? Unmovable. That's what this word strong suggests to Joshua. Don't you let people move you around. Be firm and be of a good courage. The term good courage means to be persistent in the face of a challenge. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't wither in the face of a challenge. We are persistent. We stand firm and we are persistent. We don't give in, we don't give up, and we meet every challenge with determination. So he says, in this case, be strong and of a good courage for, this is your response, this is what you need strength and courage for. Unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This is your responsibility. I made the promise. Now you are my vessel to fulfill my promise. What does God want to use you to do? Can you see yourself as a vessel in God's hand for Him to use? We sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Remember singing that song? As though our lives is a cup, and we want God to fill that cup, but lots of times we want to decide what we want our cup filled with. We want our cup filled with peace and safety. We want our cup filled with health and happiness. We want our cup filled with comfort and ease. But God says, I want to fill your cup with strength and courage. I want to fill your cup with strength and courage so that you can face the enemy and meet the challenges of life head on with confidence. I want to fill your cup with the will to do my good pleasure. And if it pleases me to send you to Africa and the jungles and the heart of that continent, you can go with strength and courage. Or if I want to send you to a concrete jungle like New York City and reach the people in the inner city, you can go with strength and courage. Or if I want you to stay right here, support your local church, you can do that with strength and courage, because it really doesn't matter what situation God directs us to, whether the jungles of Africa or the concrete jungles of New York City or the comfortable place of home, which can be sometimes quite challenging to remain faithful, it'll take the same strength and courage to remain faithful to God in each and every situation. For the second time in verse 7, he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. He says it's going to take strength and courage to be faithful to my word. Imagine that. He says that thou mayest observe. The word means to pay attention and stay focused. My 10th grade high school English teacher, first day of class, we all came into the class and sat down. Everybody's kind of jolly, greeting one another from the year before. And suddenly this booming voice from this statuesque teacher, I forget her name, but she had a pair of glasses on, and she says, "All eyes on the bridge of my glasses." Suddenly, she had everybody's attention. That's what she wanted. She wanted everybody to focus, pay attention. And that's what we need regarding the Word of God. We need to be focused. So we're not distracted from things that might keep us from studying God's word. It takes concentration to obey the word of God, because there are way too many things in this world that can distract us from it. So he says in verse 7, I want you to use your strength and courage, not only to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, I want you to stay on the straight path according to what my law instructs you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If you turn away from the straight path of consistently obeying God's word, you lose. You lose blessing. You lose reward in heaven. You lose the opportunity to glorify God. So he says, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on the straight path according to God's word. And how do you do that? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talk about it. Isn't that a great thing to do? Talk about it. Talk about it with your family. Talk about it with your friends. Try to engage whoever you can in a conversation about what God's word says. Sometimes even to people that don't want to hear it. Talk about it. But then there's this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate. What does the word mean? The basic definition of the word meditate is to use the mind to digest what God has said. To use the mind to digest what God has said. Now, this might not be the best illustration, but cows ruminate. And some other animals do too. You know what that is? Some of them. You know. So cows have more than one stomach. They consume their food. They put it in one place, and then later they bring it up and chew on it. Now that word ruminate actually becomes a metaphor for meditation. We consume the Word of God by reading it or hearing it, but then we need to take time to think about it, to chew on it. And meditation has a particular goal, as it is described here in this verse. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The reason you chew on the Word of God is to figure out how to do it. So in verse 7, we are to pay attention and stay focused so that we can do the Word of God. And according to verse 8, meditation is what makes this possible. As I chew on the Word of God, this is what I do. In my mind, I have this verse of Scripture, I have this statement from the Word of God, and I scan through my life's experiences and what I know about life, and I try to match that statement from God's Word to something that I do. So that when comes time for me to do that, I can do it in the strength and courage of the Word of God. Or if I face a situation in which I am uncertain as to how to act, I will have as a resource that statement from Scripture that I have matched with that experience, and the Word of God will explain to me how to act in that situation. I meditate in order to be able to observe, to stay focused, and do what I'm supposed to do. So we have verse 9. And he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here for the third time he says, be strong and of a good courage. And at the same time he says, be not afraid. Be not dismayed. The word dismayed, we might say, means don't be intimidated. Because I'll be with you wherever you go. If we want to practice meditation on this particular verse, I would do this. I would think about all the places I might go that would make me afraid or intimidate me. Because he says here, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed or intimidated. So what are the situations in life that make me afraid? What are the situations in life that intimidate me? Would I be afraid or intimidated if I were in the middle of Africa, in the middle of the jungles, with tribal people that are hostile? Would I be afraid if I found myself in the middle of New York City? Any of you ever been to New York City? I've only been there twice. That was two times too many. My impression was, there's so many people out on the street walking, I wonder who's inside the buildings. I mean, the sidewalks are very wide. can handle like 5 or 6 people wide, and they're just packed, and everybody is just walking. Where are they all going? But now these days, it's been quite a long time since I've been to New York City, but these days we hear there's no safe place. Would that make you afraid? Would it intimidate you? Think of any place at all. Scan in your mind. Where have I been in my life that I was intimidated? Where might I be someday that I would be intimidated and afraid? And then I hear the voice of this verse. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Our son was in the heart of Africa for 5 years. There were some dangerous moments he faced in his life. But we knew he was where God wanted him to be. If we are in the will of God, wherever we are, it'll be okay. Part of being strong is the ability to put the past behind us and to push forward, regardless of what has already happened. And notice, it is God's commandment that we be strong, as if we have a choice. For this kind of strong, we do have a choice. We can choose to stand firm, or we can let the things of this world intimidate us. I've used this illustration before. I think it's been a while since I used it, an experience I had when I was in the 6th grade. At recess, we would go out and play football. And there was a fellow, there were lots of new students. 2 schools had been merged together, and so there were a lot of students that I didn't know, wasn't familiar with. And there was one particular student, every time the ball was hiked, he would run directly at me and knock me down. I don't know why. Never figured it out. Now, you know I'm pretty big now. I've always been big. I was big for my age in the 6th grade. I was growing up already, and I was a pretty big fella. So I went home, and I asked my father, or told him about the situation. He said, "You're a big fella. You know he's going to come at you, so you just stand there and brace yourself." So I did. And that fella came running right at me. And I braced myself. And he bounced right off of me and fell down. You know, he never came at me again. Be strong. Stand firm. Brace yourself for whatever might come. Be courageous. Be persistent in your strength, in your firmness. And trust that God will be with you no matter what. Stay focused. Concentrate on the word. Meditate upon it. Not just to understand it, but so that you will know how to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this instruction to Joshua and the instruction it gives to us. May we all learn how to meditate upon your word and apply it to specific situations in life. And be focused and be firm and stand with strength and courage in every situation. Thank you for always being with us. And as you are, continually remind us of these things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.